Tell me how this sounds. It's supposed to be like, I don't know. I think I was doing too much Darth Vader there, but I'm trying to do Houston. No, I wasn't trying to do that. Let me try something else. How do you do the Houston sound? Hold on. Is it just... That's not it. That's too deep. I am. Wait. I can't do it. Fuck. I don't know, man. Let's just try this normal. All right. What's up, space cadets and cosmonauts? This is the Rule Against Podcasting, a podcast that facially recognizes the existence of laws but fails to discuss them with any substance. As always, and it never stops, I am your co-host, Chris McMillan, and some days I wish I could eat myself into the vacuum of space. And I'm joined by my other co-host.
Space. Station.
Wait, you're at the International Space Station?
Yes.
You're getting shockingly good signal because I can hear you perfectly clear. 6G? Well, I got the vaccine, so I've got 5G right now. I'm transmitting 5G, but damn, 6G? Okay, here's a legitimate question. Were there astronauts at the ISS when the pandemic started? Okay, now here's a question. If you were given the choice to come back down to Earth in the middle of the pandemic, or when it just started, or just stay on the ISS till it all blows over, what would you do? Right.
Space.
Yeah, that's a good question. Right, I doubt Superman could get sick. That's probably a thing. Well, no, Batman could get sick. But he has so much money that... Yeah. He definitely wouldn't have any trouble mastering COVID. That's true. But before we get into that, I have one quick question to ask you. Would Martian Manhunter be susceptible to COVID like the Martians from War of the Worlds? You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Right, and we got it from some animal. So I'm going to profess to something on the podcast right now. I'm not as big of a nerd as I put myself out to be, and I actually don't know that much about the Justice League. Is Martian Manhunter a Martian Manhunter? Or does he heart, or so he's a Martian that hunts men? What is he? Okay. A detective comic? Right, but I'm just like, an alien that hunts men came from a detective comic. Well, that's a very misleading name. But he kind of looks like one. That's not true. He glows green. He emits light. Yeah, it's close enough. Yeah, totally. Putting this pedantic bullshit aside, let's get down to the real questions, though. Fuck, marry, kill, Justice League edition. any because I already picked a couple that are not in the OG Justice League. Yes, absolutely, because I looked it up on Wikipedia. Let's do one at a time. One at a time. Oh, it's fuck, marry, kill, so we start with fuck. Nort. Nort. Yeah. G-apostrophe N-O-R-T. He's a Green Lantern, an anthropomorphic dog, later became a Dark Star, and a member of Justice League Antarctica, which is why you probably haven't heard of him. Well, he's an anthropomorphic dog. He's an anthropomorphic dog, don't get it twisted. Now you're getting it a little twisted. He's an anthropomorphic dog. It's not weird. He's got a mustache. He's also a Green Lantern. So it's chill. Yep. Don't say I do. Don't do anything for my listeners. Well, actually, I have a question about that first. Are we talking like comic books like Black Green Lantern, or are we talking Ryan Reynolds? Iggy. I'm aware, I just don't know. I don't know about them. Is that Black Green Lantern? It's Black Green Lantern. Okay. I figured that. Okay, that makes sense. Green Arrow. Robin Hood ass looking. That's a good point. I don't know who Black Canary is, but I'll take your word for it. I really don't. I told you. My knowledge is like Marvel, like not surface level, but like halfway down the iceberg and like cursory knowledge of DC. Okay, I would marry two people. It would be a throuple. It would be Hawkwoman and Hawkman. Who would you marry? Booster Gold. Michael Carter. Okay. Yeah, I can get down with that. Okay, last question, perhaps most important question, who would you kill? For me, Flash, Barry Allen. We have to explain what we're talking about. So I said Flash because I think Flash would be the easiest Justice League member to kill. Which one's the easiest to kill? Well, no, does Kryptonite kill Superman, or does it just weaken him to the point that he can be killed? Okay. See, but this makes me want to kill the Flash more just to prove you wrong. No, here's what you do. You find out where he lives, catch him while he's sleeping, far enough away, silent sniper, and you shoot him. I'd like to see him try. I mean, we have Wikipedia, so I think I could do that. That we don't have Wikipedia. Okay, I have a question about Flash. So, character-wise, like characteristics-wise, he seems to me like the Peter Parker of the DC universe. Is that true? And a bit of the comic relief. Yeah. I think I could also kill Spider-Man, so... So here's the thing. The easy to kill superheroes would be harder for a normal person to kill because they have to work harder than the superheroes with superpowers. You know? Yeah. It does. It totally does. Just look at Batman. He's a freaking hermit. He like lives in a cave, is super smart, just invents shit. And like comes up with all his schemes and plans to be able to do the same things that it would take Superman. Like if Superman came into Gotham, he'd just like, well, he'd probably kill people. And we know Batman can't do that. I take that back. Superman probably wouldn't kill people, but evil Superman definitely. But that's true. But how easy is it for him to get to Shazam mode? Yeah, exactly. Oh, you shoot him. You just shoot him. But then you have to shoot a kid. That's not fair. That's not sportsmanlike. Well, he's a superhero, so... But not when he... No, Shazam is a superhero when he is in Shazam mode, but not when he's a kid. So he's, I give him like, he's either fully not a superhero or fully a superhero, which makes him in the aggregate half a superhero. I think it'd be actually very hard to kill Tony Stark for much the same reasons it would be difficult to kill Batman. Yeah, but he's also rich as fuck. But that'd be like saying, like, oh, I could totally kill Jeff Bezos because he's in the public constantly. He runs, you know, a $1 billion corporation or however much Amazon is worth at this point. That's true. I don't even think he's CEO anymore. I mean, he's still, yeah, he still has some control, but... Okay, who would you kill then, and why? Just cause? Yeah, he's what, like a Kansas farm boy? Yeah, fuck the entire state of Kansas. Yeah, he's an alien, like Martian Manhunter. But counterpoint, according to Zack Snyder, he's also Jesus. That's true. Wait, really? That's the stupidest weakness. Besides the Green Lantern's weakness. Like, what about springtime and all the fucking dandelions? Does he just, like, melt? Don't say yellow is the opposite of green, because it's definitely not. That's stupid. They should have made it an opposite color. Like purple. That would make so much more sense. No, I'm not saying what the color represents in the core. I'm saying, like, on the color wheel. Green and yellow are pretty similar colors. Like, you could have a greenish yellow. What happens then? No, they're not similar at all. Yes, if you're a person with a disability, then perhaps they are quite similar, but they're not. I mean, I would have the opposite reaction, because it's like, well, while we're there, we might as well, but okay. Yeah, probably, but then you'd be, like, the one guy that got to, like, kill a Justice League member, so, like... Yeah, but I think the assumption is that, like, we would be in a separate timeline where that hadn't happened. Well, what timeline are we in, then? But here's what I can tell you. There is only one Earth, and there is only one space around Earth. So how do we decide what happens? I'm talking about, like, real life. Talking about... Never mind. Okay. So the... Okay, so in real life. Okay, so on real Earth. I'm just waiting. Okay, you're not going to interrupt me. Cool. Okay, so on real Earth, we only have one. Jesus Christ. When I come to Washington, D.C., Okay, and that's why it's the seat of government for the federal government. Gotcha. But here's one thing we do know. There's only one Earth, and there's only one space around Earth. So, let's say... Okay, let's cut that. Let's try a different one. Okay, so we're in the command tower, and who The Watchtower. We're in the Watchtower. My bad. I was thinking of a magic card. Never mind. No, we're not. So we're in the Watchtower, which is floating in space. Correct? Okay. It's floating in what we would call geospace, which is the space kind of immediately around Earth. Who decides what happens with that? And if the Justice League was real, probably not Superman, probably the government, but yeah. Thank you for clarifying that. Okay, I'm just going to take your word for it. I would say Superman's probably not in charge. I think Superman in general has a deference towards the government. No, it means that I'd say there's a stronger argument to be made. Well, we don't want him, but like... That's a good point. But Mars is kind of far away from Earth. Well, we talked about the high seas last week. I think that's a strong argument, but we're talking about space. Oh, because, okay. Well, I have bad news for you. Like the high seas, the United Nations, in scare quotes, controls. I mean, it doesn't go any deeper. World War II. World War I. Guy got shot. Crap, what's his name? Yep, that one. That one got shot. A bunch of other reasons that the tensions in that area of the world. Yeah, I don't know. We just felt like having a war, and then we were like, oh wait, technology's come too far. War is now devastating. I'm saying because a single-celled organism somehow decided to merge with other single-celled organisms to make a multi-celled organism millions, if not billions, of years ago. Yeah, we have the United Nations that control space. No, you need to go further back. Okay. I think insects were alive during the time of the dinosaurs, though. No, we need to start with the sea. So Aquaman. Yeah. Yeah, probably, but the UN is in control. I hate to break it to you. Well, he doesn't want to. That's kind of his whole shtick. Yes, the Cincinnatus example. Cincinnati, Ohio, which did not exist for another 2,000 years, but yeah. Well, I'm agreeing with you, but can we also talk about the statue in Cincinnati of Romulus and Remus where they're sucking on the wolf titty? I know, but they're like sucking on the wolf titty. That's weird. But to put it on a statue, though? Nah, they like to rub them. I don't know about that, man. I'm not so sure. Okay, but like, how weird is it that one of our ancestors looked at a cow and was like, I'm gonna suck that titty. I'm pretty sure they did. I'm pretty sure they did. Nah, I think it was some freak was like, yeah, I'm feeling it. Yeah, I really do think it was. Well, we're talking about space law, not necessarily space crime. To my knowledge, no crime has ever occurred in space. Well, because the jurisdiction of... But does the jurisdiction of space reach the watchtower? Or the jurisdiction of Earth? I am going to tell us about space law. So where did it start? It started in 1919. Well, not space specifically, but laws governing airspace first started in 1919, shortly after the invention of the airplane, which kind of makes sense, you know. Suddenly we have things flying around in the sky. We need to be like, well, we should probably have some rules about that. Well, 16 years after the first flight, successful flight, so at the point where it became kind of a problem, you know, where people... Well, they're not the birthplace of aviation because the people that invented the airplane were born in Ohio. So we are the birthplace of aviation. That is true. Yeah, exactly. I agree with you. I think North Carolina is whack. We have literally nothing going for us. We're famous for that. It's like two amusement parks. I've never had Geta before. I was born and raised in Cincinnati. I've never had it. He's from Kentucky, though, isn't he? He went to St. Susanna? Oh, shit. I knew he was from the Cincinnati area, but I was pretty sure he was from Kentucky. Yeah, fuck off, North Carolina. Okay. So we didn't get the... So speaking about international law, there wasn't any real international conventions on air travel until 1944 with the Chicago Convention. That's where we set up the International Civil Aviation Organization, which coordinated international air travel, and we regulated airspace, aircraft registration and safety, security, sustainability, and the rights of signing states. Pretty much... Yeah. Pretty much, which is kind of interesting because there's a lot of other shit going on, but I guess we were like, yeah, it's about the best time. Okay, well, what happened after World War II? Korean War, which was a part of... The Cold War. Yeah, the Cold War, which motivated the space race. And then we were like, oh, damn, we should probably have some treaties and principles governing outer space if we're going there. It was more when people get up there that's the problem. Well, at the time, that wasn't the major consideration. Well, probably, but they're long dead by now. You can do it. Air Bud? Bud Light. Well, first of all, space isn't a sport, so no. Can you imagine being the kid on the bench who gets replaced by a golden retriever in a game? How demoralizing. Not even, well, to be fair, Air Bud is pretty good at basketball. Yeah. Right. Like playing basketball in space. Or playing basketball in space in the Watchtower. And having a dog play on your team. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Nort, yeah. Yeah, I mean, are you going to disagree with Jason Momoa? I think not. Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about, well, we need to define space. What is space? Where does it start? Take a guess. Wild guess. So there's actually a lot of disagreement on this, but the most consensus we have on it... I did trick you. Exactly. Welcome to the law. Anyway, we're nothing. No answer is correct. Yeah, exactly. So the closest... Oh, shit, that would have been a really good title. Can we rebrand? Can we rebrand? Can we rebrand? Let's fucking do it. Okay, so going back to space law, it's generally agreed that's like the closest thing we have to a consensus is that space starts about 50 kilometers above sea level, about 35 miles, about. So space near the Earth, as I mentioned earlier, is called geospace, which is the upper atmosphere of the magnetosphere. And the outer boundary of geospace is considered to be the magnetopause, which is kind of the interface between the Earth's magnetosphere and the solar wind. Explanation of what that means. The magnetosphere is an abrupt boundary. Yes. It's kind of... It is not. Unfortunately, it is Marvel now. So everything under it is shielded from like the sun's radiation and like solar winds and all that shit, by the magnetosphere. So that's kind of where the upper bounds of geospace are that we agree upon. So who controls? Probably the greatest name ever. Well, the greatest, acronym. Is it an acronym? What's, where it's just the first letter of a word? Well, not necessarily spell something out, but yeah. Ugh. What are other options? Okay, well, this, I guess, will be an acronym because I'm going to sound it out. So the United Nations has the United Nations Office for Outer Space Affairs, otherwise known as ANUSA. So it's the primary law used to govern international affairs dealing with outer space. It comes from a series of five international treaties and five sets of principles governing outer space. Now, most member states of the United Nations have their own legislation governing space-related activities. But if you sign a treaty, you kind of got to agree to certain things. Treaties like a contract between countries. So that's governing law. The five set of principles governing outer space, less so. But let's start with the five treaties. We're just going to run through them real quick. Because as we're going to learn on this episode, there's really only three things you need to keep in mind when it comes to space law. Let's go with the first treaty. First treaty is the most important treaty. It's a treaty on principles governing the activities of states in the exploration and use of outer space, including the moon and other celestial bodies. Otherwise known as the Outer Space Treaty from 1967. What does this treaty do? It provides the basic framework on international space law as introduced by the US, Russian Federation, and the UK. What does it set out? It sets out kind of the basic principles for how we're going to deal with space amongst the international community. So the exploration and use of outer space shall be carried out for the benefit and in the interests of all countries and shall be the province of mankind. Outer space shall be free for exploration and use by all states. Outer space is not subject to national appropriation by claim of sovereignty, by means of use or occupation, or by any other means. States shall not place nuclear weapons or other weapons of mass destruction in orbit or on celestial bodies or station them in outer space in any other manner. The moon and other celestial bodies shall be used exclusively for peaceful purposes. Astronauts shall be regarded as the envoys of mankind. States shall be responsible for national space activities, whether carried out by government or non-governmental entities. States shall be liable for damage caused by their space objects, and states shall avoid harmful contamination of space and celestial bodies. Any questions? Okay, space is for everybody. No one gets to control space. You can't put shit in space that's going to hurt other people. No death laser. So Space Force, kind of not supposed to be a thing under this treaty, as long as you put it in space. Moon, also for everybody. No one can claim the moon. Sorry. Astronauts. Well, that's a different story. They were there first. Yeah, I mean, we've done it before. We'll do it again. Astronauts. You shoot someone up into space, don't mess with them. Now, if you decide to have a governmental agency that does space stuff like NASA or a non-governmental agency that does space stuff like SpaceX, you need to be in charge of that. You need to regulate it. If you have to regulate yourself or you have to regulate non-governmental agencies. Got to pass laws. You shoot stuff up into space, and it causes injury or damage, you got to pay for it. Don't pollute space. We're already polluting the Earth. Don't pollute space. Does that make sense? Okay, cool. Next treaty. Agreement on the rescue of astronauts, the return of astronauts, and the return of objects launched into outer space. Also called the Rescue Agreement, which was signed a year later. So this elaborates on Articles 5 and 8 of the Outer Space Treaty, which if you will remember, the moon can't be owned by anybody. It's for peaceful purposes. And don't mess with astronauts. So, states need to take all possible steps to rescue and assist astronauts in distress and promptly return them to the launching state. And that state shall, upon request, provide assistance to launching states in recovering space objects that returned out to Earth outside the territory of the launching state. Basically, if something's wrong with an astronaut, you need to help them. Or you should help them. Well, if you have the means to, you should probably help them. And then if you shoot stuff into space and it lands somewhere else, you can give it back to them. Pretty easy. Okay, next one. Well, that's not what that treaty says. It would be, so you shouldn't do it. Okay, next one. Convention on the International Liability for Damage Caused by Space Objects. The Liability Convention, 1972. Elaborates on Article 7 of the Outer Space Treaty. So, a launching state shall be absolutely liable to pay compensation for damage caused by its space objects on the surface of the Earth or to aircraft, and liable for damage due to its fault in space. It creates a procedure for settlement of claims for damages, and what this all means, in normal terms, is it's a strict liability standard, which means if you do it, doesn't matter if you meant to do it or not, you gotta pay for it. So if you shoot your shit into space and it causes damage to person or property, you gotta pay for it. And they set up a procedure by which countries can make claims regarding it. Probably the United Nations. They kind of are. I'm not going to disagree with you there. Space does belong to everyone, which means there needs to be some restrictions on what you can do in space. We're getting to that, because the next one is the agreement governing the activities of states on the moon and other celestial bodies, otherwise known as the Moon Agreement of 1984. So this elaborates on provisions from the previous treaties concerning issues with the moon and other celestial bodies. So the moon must be used exclusively for peaceful purposes. Its environment should not be disrupted. The UN shall be informed of the location and purpose of any station established on those bodies. And the moon and its natural resources are the common heritage of mankind, and an international regime should be established to govern the exploitation of such resources when such exploitation is about to become feasible. Presumably, that hasn't happened yet. We're not exactly harvesting moon rocks on the regular. But basically, everyone can use the moon. But you can't mess with the moon to interfere with other people's access to it and its resources. So that's what you can do with the moon. No, because no one owns the moon. If the moon's haunted, well, then I don't really know what you would do about that. This treaty doesn't deal with that. No, we don't. Because presumably no human has ever died on the moon, so you would think it wouldn't be an issue. No, we actually don't have any treaties on the haunting of the moon. Sorry. They don't, but we can get to the five governing declarations and legal principles of space next, which are not technically... I mean, they're binding on members of the UN, but, like, international law is really more of a series of suggestions than actual law, so, like, you know. I can do you one better. I'll skip going over exactly what the five say, and I'll give you the three reigning principles of space law. Okay. Be chill to each other, Help each other out. Don't ruin space for everyone else. No, but that's what I boiled it down to. Yeah. No space robbery. No, because that's not really being chill to other people. Unless it's a victimless crime. Smoking marijuana. That's true. That's why it's a victim. Oh, I see what you're saying. But it is technically a victimless crime. Well, you know, if the United States was in charge... Yeah. I don't see why not. Yes. Right. Well, here's the other problem. I feel like they'd be more vulnerable to the sun in space. Well, why do you say that? So you think there's just like... You think there's just like a colony of vampires floating around in space? Okay, do they have like a space station? Oh, on the moon. They're haunting... Oh, they're on the dark side of the moon. See, I think that makes a lot more sense than saying the vampires have evolved beyond the weakness of the sun. I think it makes more sense to say, you know what, no, these vampires are just living on the dark side of the moon. Yeah, okay. So I think space vampires, feasible... They could certainly exist up there under current international law. I don't see an issue with it. As one does. Yeah. Okay, what is it? Yes, I can't wait to hear it. There's a lot to unpack there. Absolutely. 100%. We need to get our first bit of audience engagement somehow. Okay, so the only other thing I was going to talk about, the only other major agreement that's relevant to space law is the International Space Station Agreement, which doesn't sound too sexy until we think about the ramifications of it. So this is an agreement which governs how the International Space Station should be used, because there are a bunch of nations that have signed on and be like, yeah, we'll cooperate and we'll, you know, use this for the betterment of society as a whole. Fun fact, NASA is the lead agency that coordinates the member states' contributions to and activities on the space station. Now, the reason the International Space Station Agreement is important, not because of the space station itself, which is cool, but like, there's only so much you can do on the space station, you know? What's interesting about it is when we start, hopefully someday, setting up colonies on other celestial bodies, like the moon or Mars. So let's say Elon Musk. So let's say man-child extraordinaire Elon Musk actually does it and sets up a colony on Mars. Well, we could use the International Space Station Agreement to model an agreement between nations that could govern this new colony as a stepping stone of mankind to the stars, as you will. Do you need me to keep Yeah. I really don't, but yeah. You can become me a vampire? That's it. Yeah, just be chill to each other, help each other out, don't ruin space for everyone else. Give it a shot. Let us know what happens. I never said I wanted to fuck a dog. He's an anthropomorphic dog. Not a dog. I don't know what that means, but okay. I really don't know what that means, but okay. Oh, I know what you mean now. Okay, yeah. I honestly don't know. I think space law applies to just like everyday life. Just be chill to each other, help each other out, don't ruin it for everyone else.